In this Sean Speaks episode, I get to speak to you from my heart about an important part of parenting, family life, and a parent's mental health and mindset. I want to help you thrive in how you speak to your kids and how you speak to yourself. Sean Speaks is a live teaching I did with a Zoom room filled with my VIP members. It's interactive, it's spontaneous, it's raw and unedited. If you'd like to go deeper with me, visit my website.
Hey, I just got to tell you, I'm just so honored to be in your life. I just love it to just be able to encourage you and to share positive stories. And I'm just proud of you because here we are, a bunch of parents coming together to talk about parenting and to grow as parents. Like, that's amazing. I think we're amazing. Like, wouldn't you wish your parents did this when you were growing up? Like, people always say these cliches, you know? Oh, yeah, family first. Ah, my kids are the most important thing. It's the most important job. But so many of those people, good-hearted, lovely people, they don't put any time into actually growing or learning. And so here we are just trying to grow and learn and push ourselves to raise healthy families, to break generational cycles, to show for our kids in incredible ways. I just love it. I love you, and I'm so thankful to be here. Let me tell you something I don't love. Here's two of my least favorite sayings. I hate these sayings. I hate a lot of words and sayings, but these are two of the dumbest ones ever, okay? And we've all thought these things, and we may have even said them, but it just needs to be said, you know? I'm your parent. I'm not your friend. Such a click.
Gen X, you know, thing. Like, our parents said that to us. We've thought about saying that.
Kids, like, think about, why do people say that? And I think there's a lot of reasons why we say it. And I don't really want to talk about why we say it. I just want to talk about why we shouldn't say it. Because I want you to think about, who are your friends? Who are your most lovely, famous, I'm sorry, like, lovely, loyal, long-term friends? Who are the friends in your life? Those are, like, your people. Think about them. What do you like? Why do you like them so much? Why do you care about them? I think about some of my favorite friends, and here's something that come up to me, is they kind of get me. You know, they get me. They know me. It's like they know what I like, what I don't like, and we just, like, get together and do things that we like doing. We have those common interests. I think another thing I think about some of my favorite homies is they're reliable. Not reliable in, like, you know, if I need you to be there on time at Starbucks, reliable. Yeah, fine. It's like reliable, like, in, like, a form of, like, you know what? I can.
We get together to do something. We're going to have fun. We're going to connect. We're going to bring our families together or just connect as friends. And we're
things and have a good time. So, you say you're so reliable. One of the things I'm talking about is actually trust. I can trust that my friends are going to come to my house, or I'm going to go to their house, or we're going to go out or get our families together, and they're going to be cool and normal around my kids, around my wife, and I can trust them. Like, I can just trust. Like, yeah, they're coming over. Good times. Good times. You know, I think about my closest friends, and I'm sure you're thinking the same thing too, is, like, in those hard moments, you can go to them, or they're going to come to you. That's why that whole thing, I'm your parent, not your friend, is so weird, because it's very clear from research and just anybody who knows anything about parenting is, like, being a good parent is kind of similar to being, like, a good friend, right? We want our kids to, like us. We want our kids to look at us and be like, yeah, my parent really gets me. I can count on them. They're reliable. I can trust them. Like, they're cool to be around. They don't, like, push too hard. They don't push too soft. They're normal. They're cool. They get me. And you know what? I can trust them. Like, if I'm going through something, you know, they're gonna be there. They're gonna pursue me, or I can really go to them. You know what I'm saying? I don't like either is, I don't care if you hate me. Oh gosh. I've almost said that so many times because you know, it's pretty normal for your kids around that age, like, you know, 3 through like 8, 9 year old phase. I hate you. I hate you. And of course, we're like, I remember the first time I heard that from my one of my oldest kids, I just started laughing. I was like, what? This is like, this is happening to me right now. It's like, what? You hate me? Like, should I laugh right now? Should I cry? I just laugh because I was like, this kid don't hate me, man. This is crazy. Parenting sucks. This kid, I love this kid so much. Saying I hate me. You know what? But that just kind of goes into like how you think about your best friends. Like, you can kind of act weird and crazy about them. You don't have to be perfect around your best friends. The first episode I recorded on my podcast, I tell a kind of a longer story about how I was a little pyromaniac when I was in middle school, lighting fires, throwing rocks at this subway in the San Francisco Bay Area called BART, mooning it, just lighting tennis balls on fire, just doing stupid stuff. Just because I, you know, was a sixth grader and maybe I was just going through something and I was finding my own independence. Maybe I was just coping with my parents' divorce. And unfortunately, I burned this big old field on fire down and it sucked. And I had the police were involved. I got to go to court mandated fire counseling and I became like the bad kid in the neighborhood. And one of the most memorable things that came out of that is that my basketball coach, he took me out to a fancy restaurant called Jack in the Box. And we just had tacos or burgers together. And we just like talked and connected. And he asked me how I was feeling about the fire and my parents' divorce. And I just felt seen. You know, I just felt seen. And I'm going to show you a video in a few minutes from this famous, you know, guy that you've probably seen on social media. His name is Simon Sinek. And he's like this super, super smart leadership dude that just like finds this cool research and he's super nerdy, but he's so cool and smart. He talks about this nerdy stuff like in really educational and like easy to listen to ways. And I'm going to show you this video that I found. But if you're here with me live, I want you to turn to page 24 because what I think happens is that we all want to show it for our kids. It's like, yeah, it's almost like, that's our goal. It's a dream. It's like what we envision. And whether it be envisioning, it's just like people, you know, watch Hallmark movies and like, oh my gosh, I want that. That's so cute. Or I love it. Or, you know, men or women watch these rom-coms like, oh my gosh, I want that. It's a dream. Like, we're dreaming right now. We're all dreaming in our heads about having these next moments with our kids when they just run into our arms and we're holding them and we're just like there for them, or we take them out to a fancy restaurant called Burger King and we're just like hanging out, or we're at the beach or an amusement park, and just all is right in the world. But I want to get us ready for that minute. I want to get us ready for those moments because it's actually really hard to show up. It's really hard. You know what I think? I think it's one of the reasons it's really hard because it's really hard to be present and be a really good listener in these moments. It's really hard because the reason why we say, you know, I'm a parent, not your friend, is because we're kind of pissed off because they're pushing our buttons. And it's not easy to stay present and be loving in these everyday grind of being a parent. And you know what I found is that we can all do it. And one of the ways we can do it is through really good listening skills. Because I think the reason why this memory with Mr. Steen was just so positive for me as a troubled young man is because I think he just listened to me. And he listened well, and he cared. And he wasn't my parent. He was actually my parents' friend. But he made me feel like I was a friend. Like, he cared about me. You know, you think your friends will ever say to you, like, I don't care if you hate me, but I have to say this to you. No, your friends would not say that to you. Because they do care if you hate them. It's just so hard. So here's a couple of things I just want us to coach you in. And then I'm going to show you this little video from Simon Sinek. All right. Because I think it's a little inspirational, little 60-second video. All right. How do we show up with listening? You know what I want you to think about is listening is kind of like a light switch. And our kids are going to come to us and they're not going to have these great gentle startups like the Gottmans talk about. They're just going to be talking. It's going to be hard, nasty emotions. Your kids are not going to come up to you and be like, hey, father, I'm kind of going through some emotional turbulence and I just would love to share this with you. And I was hoping in the first 10 minutes you would just listen. And then after that, you can maybe share with me some of that old man wisdom you have, because Father, you are my wise sage. Like, that's not just the way it works, right? So, but the way it does work is it's messy and we want to get ready. It's almost like this is the practice we're getting for the game time. How do we show up so that we show up with so much love and such great listening skills so that our kids, when they talk about us behind their backs, like, yeah, they just get me, you know, just, I can trust them. And so here's a couple things to think about. When you're in those places of listening, think about your body language. Don't listen with your arms crossed. Maybe sit down on a couch, sit down on the floor, have your child even looking down at you. Even if they're like even raging at you or kind of going off, it's just a very diffusing thing. Think about your legs. Don't cross your legs. Open them up. Look at your hands and open them up. Even if you're at a dinner table, keep your hands open to the table. Of course, try to keep eye contact and be an active listener. It's not rude to actually jump in every 10 to 20 seconds and say, okay, yeah, uh-huh. I'm hearing you. Okay, tell me more. Oh, that makes sense. Think of yourself like a mirror. You're mirroring what they're saying. It might be a little different if you don't have a culture of good active listening in your home, but mirroring is incredibly, incredibly good. So yeah, and then I'm really pissed off because of my sister. Yeah, okay, you're angry because of your sister. Yeah. And yeah, and then because of you, and then you're like, yes, and then you're taking her side. Yeah, all right, I'm hearing this. You feel like I take her side. Yeah, yeah. So you just mirror. It's just like this sponge. You're soaking it in. This is something I teach a lot about. This is so hard. It's just called validation. Yeah, I can see. I can see why you'd be upset about that. Yeah, I can see why you don't want to have any rules. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, a lot of kids don't want rules. I'm sure when I was a kid, I didn't want any rules either. And then there's no but there. There's no but. You have to have rules. But I'm just the parent. That's not good listening. Good listening is just, yep, I get it. That's a horrible feeling. I can see you're feeling controlled. That's a really major, great parenting hack. I don't think it's really productive to ask your kids, so what are you feeling? Some of us have kids that like that question. Like, oh, thanks for asking me, mother. I appreciate that. I would like to tell you that we've been watching this show Sheldon. It's on Netflix because we have so many people telling us to watch it. I find myself like, I think I'm acting like Sheldon right now, right? And like, that's just not, it's just so much messy. But this tool called labeling is really helpful. So if you see your child is, you know, really coming at you, expressing deregulated, you can just try to think about what is this child feeling right now? And so you can say, it sounds like you're feeling really disappointed. Are you disappointed? Yes, and let me say the same thing, but you would say to a teenager, because that was kind of like childish tone. Did you hear that? So yeah, I got it. It sounds like this did not go your way. You're upset. You're really disappointed, huh? Yes, see, I just changed my tone to talk to like an older student right there. All right, how about this one? This has got to be, if there was like, in my mind, if I was teaching a class to the world, to parents or teachers about great listening, the number one thing, is you've got to wait your freaking turn. Wait your turn to say, well, yeah, okay, you were upset. Well, I was upset too. Well, what about your brother? Yeah, you know, that's just not the way it works. You can't just blame your teacher for these things, right? And then what happens is this light switch happens. So light switch, when you flip it, I think up, does the lights go on or down? I don't know. Let's say you flip it up, the lights go on. And that means you're listening. You're like open. You're a sponge. You're soaking it in. But then what happens is why it's so hard to show up for our kids is we get triggered. We hear them blaming. We hear them saying stupid stuff. We hear them being childish or whiny. We hear something that triggers us from our childhood. We take it personally. We get afraid. And then boom, we flip that switch and we start speaking, scolding, teaching, speaking about ourselves. And we take ourselves out of that listener role. So what we want to do is be curious. Yeah, okay. Tell me, how can I help? Yeah, okay. Why would you? Sometimes people think of me like a robot sometimes, because I'll say things like, you know, how can I help? Or why were you talking to me about this? I know that might be negative or provoking, but sometimes I just ask people like, what is going on here? It's just like slowing it down. Like, what is just slowing the pace down? Like, what are you hoping that we can get out of this? It's just like slowing it down to not disconnect emotionally, but just bring in that logic to help me understand, like, what is my role here? How can I help? Sometimes you could say, hey, were you just hoping that I could just listen and you can just vent and talk? Or are you looking for advice? That's something that you see that some parents have really excelled at in their home. And the answer to that question is normally 90%, they don't want your advice. They're just looking to listen, especially if your child is 13 and up. And then this is a really, really important thing here. It's just, how do you create positive closure? You know, because you could do all these do's and don'ts on this paper that you might be looking at, but if you don't have positive closure, it just feels yucky, doesn't it? Just, and you know, because parents are teachers, when you're showing up with good listening, you're teaching this, you're creating a home culture of teaching in your house. And I'm really glad you share this with me, you know, and I kind of know you more. I want you to be able to come to me about these things. Hey, how can I make this right with you? Or how can I help? Hey, did you feel like you talked this out enough? Do you want to talk some more? Because we can talk about more. We could even pick it up tomorrow if you like. You know, are we okay now? Are we okay? Are we good? Are we good? Okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to solve this problem together? You know, hey, do we have a win-win here? Or, hey, this doesn't feel like a win-win for me. Or, hey, can we take a timeout? Or I'm going to take a timeout. And then let's come back to this. You know what you're about to see on this video that I'm going to show you is Simon Sinek is going to talk about a time. And the time he's going to talk about is 8 minutes in this 59-second video you're about to hear. And you know what? Sometimes when we look at these things that we've talked about here today, it's really encouraging. It's really lovely. It's amazing that being a listener doesn't like take a ton of time. Like that jack-in-the-box that I shared with Mr. Steen.
45 minutes, right? Because you can't be sitting in a jack-in-the-box for like an hour and a half, you know?
Like these little moments of 5 minutes here for this kid, 3 minutes here to this kid, maybe 10 minutes a day for your more challenging kid who needs you. This is doable. We have this time for our kids. And this is why when I show you this video here it comes, it's just so exciting to think like this is doable for us. We do not need to carve out hours and hours of our day, of our life, to be excellent listeners. Here we go.
When someone is struggling or in need, all they need is 8 minutes from a friend to hold space with them to make them feel better. And so now we have a code word. When one of us is struggling, the text is, do you have 8 minutes? And that simply means, I need you. I'm gonna cry.
There's no greater honor that you could give a friend than to send them a text message that says, do you have 8 minutes? Like, when you're in your own, like, darkness, there is no greater gift to let someone know how much they mean to you to send that text.
There's no greater honor.
There is no greater. Like, that is the level friend that I aspire to be. And I don't have a zillion friends because I'm like, the friends I have, I'm the 8 minute text in the middle of the night friends. I'm the stop, drop, and roll friends.
Parents, thank you for letting me be a positive voice in your life. I love you and I love your family. If you're sick and tired of the same painful patterns in your parenting or the same painful bad behaviors in your kids, then what are you waiting for? Join me in my VIP membership. I'd love to speak with you and give you the specific tools that you need.